Welcome to Far Too Fabulous, hosted by Julie
and Catherine. Join us on a mission to embrace your fabulousness and redefine wellness.
Get ready for some feistiness,
inspiration,
candid chats,
and humour as we journey together towards empowered well-being.
Let's dive in.
So today's episode is all about breathwork. If you listened to our very first episode, you would know that one of the things, one of the trainings, one of the passions that Julie and I both share is breathwork. It's an absolutely phenomenal technique, and hopefully we will enlighten you as to what it is and why it's of benefit to you. So, Julie, talk to us about breath.
Okay, so yeah, I share this passion with Catherine for sure, especially because I have a history of asthma. So breathing's always been of particular interest to me, more than just your everyday breathing, to be honest. I'm sure we will come into that as the episode goes through. But breath is everything. From your very first breath you take to your very last breath, there's nothing outside of that. We can't exist without the breath. So it is the most important thing for life. And what happens between that first and last breath, we tend to think of as being automatic. But actually, we do learn some of our breathing behaviours, and we do have the ability to access that autonomic nervous system and change our breath.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I remember when I first learnt to teach Pilates, and we were talking about lateral thoracic breathing. I'll only say that once. and how I thought at that point that was the be all and end all. So really keeping your core engaged and doing a very round breath, expanding your rib cage, expanding around where your lungs are. And I was like, that's obviously the way you breathe, and nothing else is good. And so then when I learned meditative breath and that abdominal breathing, I was like, oh, hang on a minute. And so then having to bring an acceptance and an awareness into all these different types of breaths and where they fit in and how they benefit you was quite an experience letting go.
I'm sure it was. And there are many types of breath work, as we will come on to. But I think it's important to understand what the breath actually is. So when we breathe in and out, it's a gas exchange. It's allowing our body to send oxygen around our system. It's transporting our nutrients. It's involved in the cell in making energy. So everything that happens in our body is 100% dependent on us breathing in and breathing out.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said earlier, it's really, really interesting that we it's an automatic response. We just do it and we think that that's all there is to it. And there is so much more. I was having a look at some bits and pieces for today, and I came across something really, really interesting, that the lungs are the biggest waste removal energy in the body. And I'm sorry, I giggled when you said gas exchange. And that's where that's where you would have thought that all of the waste was heading. But apparently, no, it's heading out of our mouth. That could be a whole different other conversation, but we won't go there either. So 70% of the body's waste in the form of carbon dioxide is in the air that we exhale. And so that's huge. That's massive.
Yeah, it is massive. And I think we sometimes forget that the lungs are a massive part of our detoxification. Mm. You know, we do think of other routes. The skin is another organ that we sometimes forget. It's a massive organ. The skin is actually the largest organ in the body. But yeah, the lungs are dealing with that waste removal many, many thousands of times a day.
Yeah. And often when I am coaching breath work, that's exactly what I feel like it is doing. It is that almost like a deep clean through your body. I've been heard to say in my, I'm very visual. And so when I'm coaching this, I do imagine that all of this extra breath, this extra oxygen, this extra air in your body is almost making everything bubble up out of your cells, out of the surface. You're like a big mint aero I mean, or chocolate arrow, whatever floats your boat. We're back onto chocolate again now here.
Stop it with the chocolate.
And it allows it all to bubble up to the surface and release. And so whether we're talking metaphorically, if you're thinking about spiritual and subconscious changes, or whether you are now literally talking about getting rid of any waste products in your body, that's the image I've got, and it's nice to have some hard facts behind it.
Let me tell you something else interesting about breathing, and in particular the way in which you breathe. So your nose is pretty incredible when it comes to breathing. So we are supposed to breathe through our nose, but lots of people don't. We'll come on to that, I'm sure, in a minute. But when we breathe through our nose has got lots of filters and things that it does to make sure that the air that we've just breathed in, which is full of toxins and things, right? Especially if we live in a big city, we know that there's going to be toxins there. The nose filters out and cleanses that air coming in before it even hits the lungs. And I must tell you something that I read, and I can't back this up with hardcore science at the moment, but I read something back in 2021. So when we were still going through the pandemic, there was study of some kind, not like I said, I don't have the hard scientific facts, but it would make sense when you understand how the nose works, to show that if you were in a tube train that was busy and you breathe through your nose instead of through your mouth, you couldn't catch the COVID virus even if it was present in the carriage.
That's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And like I said, I can't back that up, but I think I probably could if I delved a bit into it, because it would make sense when you understand how the nose works to filter things, that it also filters anything from the outside going in.
Yeah, well, I think when you go up to London for a day out and then you come back down and you blow your nose, it's always quite grubby and dirty.
Black fogies, yeah. Right? Yeah. And actually, that can't think of the product now that you can use to stop a cold, or if you go on a plane, it's a thing that goes up your nose.
Oh, okay.
Can't think of what it's called now. But even like Vaseline around your nostrils will help prevent pollen from going in. That's quite well known. So I think it would make sense that because your nose is such an amazing filter and that air is going straight to your lungs, and although your lungs have got amazing defense system there, the fact that your nose can filter out something like a cold virus.
Yeah, it's pretty epic.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. You just reminded me, actually, that was when I was talking about the learning to do Pilates and the different breath patterns. You said about breathing in and out through your mouth. I had a story that only babies and large, lazy gentlemen breathed in and out through their mouth and did that abdominal breathing.
Where on earth did you get that from?
I have no idea at all. That's funny. But again, awareness, people, that we make these things up and then they become gospel truth for no reason whatsoever.
Exactly. So I think the first thing that we ought to do is to talk about how the breathing in through your nose and out through your mouth, or in through your nose and out through your nose, has an impact on your stress response, because we've been talking a lot about stress and breathing is very much involved in that stress response. So when we breathe in, we are accessing the sympathetic nervous system, which is our stress response. When we breathe out, we are stimulating our parasympathetic nervous system, which is our rest and digest. It's our calmer side of our system. And our body knows to be more in that side than in the stress side, which is why naturally we should breathe out twice as long as we breathe in.
Interesting. So interesting. And when you are activating all of this, it just gives you those signals to your body that you are safe, and that it can turn off all that sympathetic nervous system. It can turn, you don't need to run or fight or freeze or do any of those things. You can just chill your boots.
Yeah, exactly. And I think all of us have experienced being in stress and how it impacts the breath. I think it's one of the first things that you notice.
Yeah, absolutely. And we touched on this earlier on, but when we talk about breath work, there are so many different breathwork techniques and patterns, and it is just a conscious technique or pattern when we're talking about this, other than actually one of Julie's courses that was getting you to actually change the way that you breathe for good.
Yeah, that was an amazing course, and I really apologize that I can't pronounce this guy's name very well. I would say it's Erwin LaCour is how he probably pronounces it. But he does a course in breathwork, and this was the fourth course I'd done. So I'd gone right into breathwork during the, as soon as the pandemic came along, me being, you know, history of asthma, I was thinking to myself.
And the forever learner.
And the forever learner.
We've got that, haven't we?
Yeah. And just because I love learning about anything to do with health. So, yeah. And having a bit of time on our hands because, you know, we couldn't do what we normally did. So, yeah, I went fully into this in order to protect myself because I thought if I do get COVID, I know that it's a respiratory issue. Mm. And my Achilles heel might be my respiratory issue. Mm. So I want to do as much as I can to support my health. As a child, I did this by learning a wind instrument to help my asthma because it was recommended.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I became very good at playing the clarinet back in the day. So yeah, I did this, my fourth course with this guy who holds the record for the longest held static breath, which is just under 8 minutes. And he was specifically helping us to be able to change our automatic breathing so that we weren't thinking about it. So he got us to do some exercises, and throughout the day we practice certain things, and then we do measurements, and basically we were aiming to get our number of breaths per minute down to an optimal level of less than 7. And I got mine down to around 3 or 4 breaths a minute on a regular basis when I was doing those exercises,
which is incredible. I know that when we are doing an active breath work session and then you just sit in a, I was saying this to you earlier, I don't feel like breath hold is the right word. It's almost like a, I don't know, breath release when you just sit in that space between the breaths and you've been doing active breath work. It's incredible how long you can sit there. And I often say, don't panic, you know, your breath will kick in when you need to. So just sit there. But it is amazing how long you can sit and without breathing.
Yeah, you can sit for a long time. So when I was doing that course, we timed our, on the very first session, we timed how long we could hold our breath for. And interestingly, it was different from the Wim Hof method, which was the first method that I trained in. So that is you breathe out and you hold on the out breath, which is actually easier to do, especially if you've hyperventilated yourself. Mm-hmm. Because of that gas exchange, you've not got that immediate need to breathe in because you've hyperventilated and your body's got to then get rid of oxygen. So you holding your breath actually helps. So we were measuring on the breath in hold, which if you ever try it, is way harder. So the static breath is the breath in, holding on the breath in. So the first time I timed it, I actually did 1:10. And then at the end of the course, I held my breath without doing any hyperventilation, by the way. We didn't do that. We just breathed normally. Mm. And then we went into a breath hold on the in-breath. I held my breath for just under 4 minutes.
On the in-breath?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Because it is definitely, again, that one's a more of an active hold, isn't it? Whereas when you exhale, oh, you can kind of let everything go.
Yeah. So you're breathing in on a stress. Mm. And then it's that stress on the body that is actually helping your body to adapt. And then it was more about you being resilient and not panicking if you were ever in a situation where you couldn't immediately breathe. I found that fascinating. But I would never have believed, especially as a, you know, someone with a history of asthma, that I could breathe in and hold my breath for just under 4 minutes without it being a massive, massive stress to my system.
No, it's absolutely incredible. So the other things that it does for your body, we've talked about briefly the massive amount of oxygen that you are bringing into your body. We've talked about it activating the, I can never say this word, parasympathetic nervous system.
Yay! Yeah, you did say it.
I got it. I got my teeth in, stuck in properly today. If you're doing a breathing technique that's got a pattern, it's very mindful. That's all you're thinking of is just how you are breathing, really focusing on your breath. So it's very good for mindfulness. And also, it interrupts any negative thought patterns. If you're in that loop and you're just thinking, those mind monkeys are like on full screeching alert, and then you've got to think about breathing. You can't do the both things at once. So it's really, really beneficial for that. And it also helps you to observe your thoughts and your feelings without judgment. One of the styles of breathwork that I do, I talk through parts of it. So once you've settled yourself into an altered state of consciousness, you get to the point where with vocal cues, some of these thoughts can just start to float up into your mind. And with the encouragement of listening to these thoughts without judgment, you can get to process them. And often, and again, this is my whole visual about thinking about things bubbling up to the surface. These might have been stresses, traumas, tensions that you've buried deep for many, many years, and it gives them an opportunity to see the light of day.
Yeah, I love the research done by Candice, I think her name is, Molecules of Emotion. Have you read that book?
No.
That's amazing. So she was a scientist that actually managed to prove that we hold our emotions within our cells, in our bodies.
Mm.
And yeah, so we part things up and we hold them in places, and doing the breath work allows a moment for your body to release them.
I love that there's some scientific backing to this, because it really balances the line between woo-woo and science, doesn't it? And so it's really nice to, and we know, like, the people that practice breathwork, the people that teach breathwork know its benefits and see them every single day. So it's really nice to have some sort of scientific backing to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of people get stuck in that sympathetic nervous system. It becomes their default because of stress, especially if there's been trauma in childhood. They go into survival mode as a way to cope and get stuck in that survival mode. And breathing is often an issue for those sort of people. So yeah, breathing incorrectly and triggering more sympathetic nervous system response is a classic sign of.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you can get into that cycle. And again, so being conscious of it is a really good pattern breaker. Other really simple things that it does for you, well, really simple things, but really impactful things, reduces your blood pressure, reduces your heart rate, and helps with your gut and your whole system working correctly. We are slightly skirting around the word vagus nerve here, because we are going to be talking about that much, much more next week. But do you want to just touch on that slightly with the gut particularly? I know you like that.
I do, don't I? Yeah, so the vagus nerve is, as the word explains, it's part of the nervous system, and it is a nerve. It links our brain to our gut, and it plays a huge role in regulating our parasympathetic nervous system. So we want to ideally stimulate our vagus nerve, because then that helps us be in the parasympathetic nervous system. But I'm by no means an expert on it, and like Catherine said, we've got someone that is going to explain all that for us on the next episode. So we're very excited about that.
Really excited. I was just laughing with Julie. I'll put it in this episode and not when we've got a guest. I'm very visual. And so I wanted a visual picture of what the vagus nerve looked like, because in my head, it's a vagus with a flashing neon sign and arrows and things, you know, the one in Nevada, not the one in the middle of your body. And so
has it got the Bellagio fountains in it?
flying out all over the place. Well, I tell you, it kind of looks like maybe one of those upside down with all the bits coming out. So perhaps we'll stick to that one. I liked your visual of it, actually.
I was going to say, my visual was like a jellyfish, kind of with the rhythm of it. You know, when you watch a jellyfish move in water, and it's nice and calm, and you just get mesmerized by it, don't you? Mm. And then a lot of the time, if you go to an aquarium, they put the different lights on, don't they?
Yeah.
So you can see the different lights. So that's
Vegas bit.
That's my, yeah. I got the vagus bit. Yeah, that's how I tend to think of it. But we definitely want our vagus nerve to be working for us. And there are ways that we can trigger it. You know, obviously singing is one of our favourite ways to trigger the vagus nerve.
Favourite way. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so breath work is a big one. It's on the top of all those lists for stimulating and keeping that vagus nerve super, super healthy. It's all the things we talk about, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, everything's connected again, isn't it? But like I said at the start, you don't have anything if you don't have your breath. So it's really important. I think one of the things you can do that I mentioned earlier on is actually measure how many breaths you do a minute. Mm. So we were having a chat about this in terms of from when you were a nurse versus what is an optimal level of breaths. There was a really good book. Was it James Nestor who wrote the breath book? Mm-hmm. That's a really good book, isn't it? Because he talks about the impact of how we breathe on the structure of our face, and that a lot of our kids have got overcrowding because the way that we breathe now has altered the palate and the jawline and everything. And
yeah, there is this research I was just reading. The difference between a mouth-breathing child and a nose-breathing child actually alters the shape of their face.
Yeah, it does.
So if it does that, you know, what else can it do?
I know, it's amazing. But he also said in that book that the number of breaths per minute for health was around 6 or 7.
Mm.
So, but most people, if you get them to count it, they'd be up in the 15, 16s. And then you said when you were a nurse, well, you tell the story.
Yeah, so when we're doing respiratory rate, and when I was a nurse, that was always one of our first indicators that something was going wrong.
Mm, interesting.
Really, really interesting. And yeah, as soon as you saw respiratory rate start to raise, that was always an alarm bells, because your body is going to do everything that it possibly can to keep your blood pressure stable, to keep your heart rate at a decent level. And so watching that heart, watching that respiration rate go up is always a good indication. However, I was saying that the parameters for normal breath that we would look out for would be somewhere between 12 to 18, which if we are looking at optimal health, seems like it's going to be too much.
Yeah, indeed. And what you've got to remember as well is every time you breathe in and out, there's a lot of work the body's doing. And the more we breathe in, the more when we breathe in and we've got that gas exchange and we're dealing with how the body's producing our energy, there's a chemical reaction that takes place there, a bit like burning in the log burner. There's going to be the ash in the ashtray that you've got to then clear out. And the body has a similar thing. If we're breathing more, we're creating more ash, which pushes our oxidative stress up. Therefore, we have a higher need for our antioxidants to come in and clean up. And if we keep building that up in the cell becomes compromised, and then it has an impact on our energy production. So it's all linked, really.
Yeah. No, it's so interesting. We could talk about this forever and ever, I think. I have added a little special gift for you guys in the show notes. So if you have never done breath work before, go and have a little go. It's a very short morning breath work audio. Don't overdo it.
No, don't overdo it.
But have a go and let us know what you think.
I think if someone's listening and they've never considered this before, because not everyone has even thought about it, it's because it's something automatic that happens. They didn't even think about, hang a minute, how I breathe might have an impact. And we could go down the route of the impact of sleep apnea and all sorts. Mm. But if they've never done breath work before, the one that I like to probably start with is just that breathing in through your nose for however many counts is comfortable, and then breathing out through your nose or mouth twice the length of that. So if you can only breathe in for 3, then you breathe out for 6, and you don't have to do it for 10 minutes, just do it for a few rounds and then notice how you feel.
Yeah, incredible. And again, thinking about the benefits of mindfulness that you're going to get from that as well, that sense of peace and calm, just watch your entire system just sort of settle down and almost recalibrate.
Yeah, I mean, on an episode before, we spoke about taking action when we were stopping at a red traffic light. You could do this with breathing, couldn't you? Any time where you're doing something that you do on a daily basis, boil the kettle. You stood there waiting for the kettle to boil. Just check in with your breath. If you've just made a phone call, when you hang up, check in with your breath. The more we speak, the more we're breathing in and out through our mouth. We can't help that, by the way.
Well, we can't talk and breathe in and out through our nose.
You try.
I'm now trying it. I can't do it.
You can't do it, can you? So if you've got a job...
Are you trying it at home now?
It's hard, isn't it? If you've got a job where you are talking a lot, and I am because I'm doing consultations and things, and you probably are as well, then we need to make up for that in the other things we do.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Thank you for that bit of information there.
There you go. So yeah, checking in with how you're breathing, especially when you're under stress, because we know that anybody who's ever experienced a panic attack will know that that has a direct link to your breathing. You know that your breathing changes when you're stressed. Just being able to be aware and then just slow it down. My daughter suffers from anxiety, and that when she gets like that, I say to her, look at your breathing. It's all in the top part of her body. I can see her shoulders, and I say, show me how your belly's going out. Slow down. That's my main advice when she gets in a state like that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so important, and it is so just overlooked, I think is the word I'm trying to, because we do it automatically. And there are so many different things that you can do for it. So that's probably quite overwhelming as well. But just starting off with awareness, starting off thinking about slowing it down and thinking about how you are breathing is an amazing start.
Yeah. And what a lovely gift to give yourself by paying attention to your breath, because it is everything.
It is everything. I think that might be the title, do you?
Yes, it might well be.
Oh, fantastic. I think that we have covered everything that we wanted to today. As always, please, if you've got any questions or comments, get in touch with us through our social medias. In any way, we absolutely welcome any conversation about this.
Absolutely, I agree.
Take care, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for keeping us company today. If you enjoyed the podcast, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review.
Your support helps us on our mission to reach 1,000 women in our first year.
So share with your friends and family. You might just change your life.
Connect with us on social media and make your life easier by joining our podcast mailing list. You'll find the links in the show notes. Your weekly episode will be delivered straight to your inbox every Thursday morning.
Make it a fabulous week.
And we'll catch you in the next episode.